So the third chapter is titled Karma Yoga. So this topic was introduced in the second chapter where in two or three slokas he gave Karmanye Vadikaraste, that sloka, Yogastha Guru Karmani, these are the slokas which introduced the Karma Yoga topic in a nutshell. So he is going to expand these slokas in 43 slokas in the third chapter. Third chapter has 43 slokas. They are going to discuss Karma Yoga. Then we should ask, why did Krishna take up Karma Yoga for discussion? Because this is the next topic, even though it is a natural evolution, we need to understand, because he has already talked about them. Why should he elaborately discuss them here? Because even though Krishna has clearly taught the entire range of sadhana in the second chapter, Arjuna gets completely confused. The moment you give so many things to the student, he gets confused. Oh, it's all over me. It's all confusing. So Arjuna gets completely confused because that is the problem of normally any student. So for a teacher, the job is what? To come down from subtle ideas to the gross ideas. For the teacher to be in the subtle ideas, it is easy for him because he has understood that very well. He can be in the subtler plane. But he has to come down to the grass plane to explain to the student and take him from that plane to the subtler plane. So that's what the teacher has to do. So he has to listen to the grass words, to the subtle ones, subtle ideas, to the knowledge. So he has to move upwards. So the journey is difficult because misunderstanding is always a problem. It can always creep in any time, misunderstanding. So even for worldly things, this is common. So now come to Atmavidya, forget it. So it's going to be really a challenge. So even though the teacher is Bhagavan himself, even for Bhagavan the teacher, he will have problem so long as the student is not a person who is yet fit. So even for Bhagavan it is tough. So think of every teacher. Very tough. So the teacher himself is confused. How to take it to the student again, even more. So this is deep. Because Narayanena Swayam, Bhagavan Narayana, he himself is teaching. It's not any other teacher teaching. Narayana himself is teaching the Gita. Even for him it is difficult because student is not yet ready. So in Vedantic teaching, the student is allowed to ask questions. No problem at all. Because he can ask questions for what? To understand. To understand the concepts, he can ask questions. Unlike Karmakanda. Karmakanda, no questions. Whatever is asked, you just to do. Something prescription is given, take the tablet. That's it. Do not ask whether the tablet will work, but how, what are the other things. Don't ask all those things. Just the tablet. Take it. In Karmakanda, we have to just only obey. Every ritual, just only obey. For ghee, just for ghee. Do achamanam. That's it. Don't ask why I should do achamanam. Do achamanam. That's it. No right to ask questions at all in Karmakanda type. In the Purva Bhaga, no right to ask any questions. It is a matter of faith. It's a matter of Shraddha. That is what is developed first. So it is a matter of Shraddha only, just to obey. So, Vachanat Pravrittihi. In Pura Bhagam, Vachanat Pravrittihi and Vachanat Nivrittihi, both. Do it because it is said in the Vedas. Do it because it is said by the teacher. Do it because it is said in the Shastras. Do not do it because Vedas told you so. Do not do it because Vedas don't tell you not to do it, don't do it. Whereas Vedanta is not a matter of belief. Vedanta is not a matter of belief. Vedanta is a matter of understanding. It is a matter of understanding. It does not talk about the other world. It does not tell you about the Swarga and all those things. It does not talk about any of those things. It's not a matter of faith at all. No faith here and all those things. It is a matter to be understood clearly. It talks about my nature. It talks about my nature, which is available where? Here and now. I don't have to die to go and know my nature. I can know my nature here and now it is available. So, and now for me to understand. So, it is for me to understand right now. So, in Karmakanda, there is no questions. It is implicit obedience. Whereas in Jnanakanda, never accept anything. Always question. Always question why it is so. You have to question and question and question all the time. If the student does not, what the teacher does? He himself raises the question and answers. Because many times student may not be able to ask certain questions, so the teacher himself will ask these questions. Why this should be done? Why this should not be done? He will ask and he will himself answer. So he will introduce what is known as the Purvapaksha Siddhanta method. That's what the teacher, most teachers do. They will ask the questions themselves and they will negate and they will keep going further. So Arjuna has enough freedom to ask questions. No problem at all. So he takes up the question. Now he says, Krishna, you are very confusing. That's the first thing he does. Krishna, you are very confusing. That is how the third chapter is going to begin. Guru also, he cannot get wild. When the student tells the teacher, you are very confusing, the teacher will not get wild also. Because the question may come back again and again. There is no shortcut. Till he understands, there is no shortcut. It may come many times. The teacher cannot get impatient till the student understands what is to be understood. So Krishna started the teaching with the in the third chapter. We can read the first sloka, so I have not read it yet.